Second Touch by Bodie and Brock Taney. Book 2 of the AD Chronicles series. Read by Sean Barrett. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 to 4. Adonai spoke to her softly as he formed her. I am sending you. Adonai loved her, created her as a reflection of his great love. He swam beside her as she emerged from the warmth of the womb into the cold, far country called life. She hesitated, tried to turn back. He compelled her to go on. Breathe. Don't be afraid. You are sent by me beyond what you imagine are the boundaries of your world. At his urging, she gasped, taking in her first breath of this new and foreign place. She wailed and longed for the steady beat of her mother's heart against her back. But he stood by her cradle and touched her face in the night and comforted her. Don't be afraid of anything. You are a tree. Let beauty and light and terror rage around you like a storm. It will not harm you. She longed for the safety of his presence. Her spirit begged to turn back. He commanded her to go forward on the journey. I am your ship, your sail, your captain. I am the wind, the water, the lighthouse guiding you to your destination. Together we will sail a great distance, face many sorrows, overcome great trials. Do not fear the journey. Trust me. We travel together, you and I. Together. Together we carry priceless treasure to those who wait on the desolate shore. Go on, then. Live. Fearless. Yes, that's my girl. You will find the lost ones, like driftwood, twisted and forsaken, strewn along the path of your own suffering. Find them, embrace them, feed them, carry them. I am at your side every step of the journey. And when we return home again together, together those who were lost before you came will travel back with us. And so her father named her Shoshana, which means lily. She was a beautiful child, almost perfect. Everyone said so. Flaxen hair, oval face, large blue eyes that gathered in the sky, small nose, mouth like a rosebud, teeth straight and white, ears petite and perfectly formed. She was a cheerful baby, met the eyes of every stranger who passed by. Even the most irascible among the congregation would grin and coo and happily make fools of themselves when Lily was passed around the synagogue. Papa used to say Lily was the most beautiful flower in his garden. Lily was the eldest child. Three brothers followed in close succession. Lily was such a comfort, Mama would say, because a daughter stays a daughter all her life, while sons grow up and get themselves wives. That was always the way of it, eh? Every mother needed at least one daughter. Mama had so many wonderful hopes and dreams tied up in Lily. Lily would grow up, get married, bring the grandbabies home to visit. Yes, it would be fine. life ripening into something delicious and plentiful to be savoured and enjoyed. But it was not to be as Mama hoped. Life ripened to become bitter, not sweet. So unfair. So full of suffering. Things never, ever turning out the way they ought. Lily was but 12 that terrible spring, when the first sign of sickness touched her face with a strange beauty. Pale cheeks took on a rosy hue. Blue eyes were brighter than usual. Papa mistook these changes as the indication of approaching womanhood. His bud was about to bloom, he declared. But Mama had seen the progression of Tsaraat before. Almost from the first, she suspected all was not well with little Lily. She guarded her fears, kept silent, watched Lily when she was not looking, prayed a lot, to no avail. Mama noticed when Lily's hands grew clumsy as she threaded a needle. She noted how awkward Lily seemed when she passed the jug of milk to her brothers or attempted to tie a string around a bunch of flowers. Still, Mama could not bring herself to believe it could be true. Not Lily. Oh, Lord, not Lily. The possibility was too horrifying to contemplate. Just growing. Papa waved away Mama's worry with his hand. Children are always clumsy when they grow. Then one morning, Lily spilled scalding water on her left hand and did not seem to notice. She did not cry out, felt no pain. Mama saw it happen, knew what it meant. All she had feared had come upon them. Mama dropped to her knees and began to wail as if Lily had died right there before her very eyes. Papa came running, picked up Lily's burned hand, stared at it in horror, searched Lily's serene face, then pushed her away. With quaking voice, Papa ordered Lily out of the house into the empty lambing pen to wait. Wait until the elder would come and judge her case for himself. She was to be isolated, separated. They would see. Yes, they would wait and see. But no one really doubted the verdict. No one. Lily slumped beneath the shelter in the corral and wept as they burned all her clothes, her things, even her bed. Everything went up in smoke. Nothing of her life remained. Nothing left but life. Her brothers were commanded to stay away from her. They peeked their sorrowful little faces out the door and cried for Lily. Lily reached out to them through the slats of the pen, mourned for her brothers as if they were condemned instead of her. At night, the house grew silent with anguish too deep for tears. Lily sobbed quietly alone. She was afraid. She wanted to go back inside, into her little room where she had always slept. In the daylight, Lily and her family peered at one another across the garden, which now seemed as wide as the gulf separating life and death. Mama, weeping, brought food and water in a leather sack, hung it on the post, and hurried away. She cupped her hands and called to Lily over the berry vines, asking if there was anything else she needed. Lily might have said she needed everything to be the way it used to be. Might have said she wanted to come inside and be home, just like always. But she did not. What was the point?
I'm sorry, Mama, Lily cried. I'm so sorry.
But Mama, terrified of losing all her children, was too busy herding the boys to hear Lily. Her commands came sharply.
Stay back, boys! Get back! No, Aaron! No, David! David, you can't! Don't go near her!
So they were certain even before the priest rendered final judgment, even before the sentence was passed.
Tsaraat.
With that one word, all the angels of heaven turned their backs on Lily. According to the laws of Moses, her family must drive her out as well. No. Lily could not stay, no matter how she implored Mama. She could not live in the shed in the pasture with the sheep. She could not embrace her dear brothers or wrap her arms around Papa in one final farewell.
Khadil, Baza, Zara,
the elder declared. And so Lily was pronounced dead to her kin and to society, though she remained alive. She sat in the dust before the house and pleaded for mercy, begged not to be driven away. Mama and Papa bolted the door and covered their ears against her cries. Where was the one who formed her? Why had this happened? Where was his voice of comfort in all this? After 2 days, the people of the village came to the farm at the priest's demand. They remained at a safe distance. Before the whole congregation, the elder adjured Lily to leave her home and the village, never to return. The people who had loved her now picked up stones to stone her. They shrieked at her, flung dust into the air. They drove her away. Some weeks after, she stumbled into the Valley of Sorrows, which is called in Hebrew Makob. In that place, the Tzara'im, the stricken ones, lived out their half-lives until death eventually swallowed them up. That had been 6 years and an eternity ago.